Let us pray. Gracious God, we do have the opportunity and the privilege to live in a free country. And whether we agree with war or our politics, this morning and on this weekend, we remember the many thousands and thousands that have felt a call to serve our country in the armed forces. That, just like any vocation, is a calling. And so many have given of their lives. And the thing is, when they enter into the armed forces, they know that that is something that has potential to happen. So God, for the families this morning that are grieving the loss of a loved one who has died while serving our country, I just ask that you pour out on them your peace and your strength and your sustenance so that they can know that you're a big God and you carry us even through the worst things, and that they are not the last things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now we are going to do something fun. If you're worshiping here for the first time, we do try to throw in, especially when we're dealing with serious topics like heaven, hell, and the afterlife, we try to throw in a fun element. But before I do that, I want to share with you what your bucket list items are. And I think some of you threw them in there just to see if I would read them out loud. And yes, the answer is yes. But so a bucket list is something that you want to do before you die. And the whole point of today's message is for us to walk away with a better understanding of the term heaven in the way that Jesus and his followers used it. We think about heaven as the place with the mansions in the sky. And brief aside, there is no word mansion referred to heaven at all. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. But he does not say you're going to have mansions in heaven. We think about, you know, angels on clouds and harps and the pearly gates and streets of gold. And I would challenge us this morning, as we look with an overview of what Jesus would have said or did say about heaven, that perhaps we can understand this concept in a way that is different than what we have gone into it before this morning. At West, we recognize that we may not all come to an understanding of Scripture in the same way. That's why I wrote the E-News article and praised our youth on Friday for addressing the issue of respect and tolerance. And so thank you. Thank you so much for being a faith community that is willing to let people grapple with their faith, because I do believe that in the end, Jesus Christ is the absolute, just a beautiful way to experience the oneness and the presence of God. But as United Methodists, we are a tolerant denomination, recognizing that people view and experience God differently. So we do not go beat people over the heads and cram Jesus down people's throats. We offer love. And so I always consider it a high honor and privilege to be able to pastor a church that looks at faith that way. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Here are some of your bucket list items: to learn Spanish fluently, to be arrested in New York City, and I will be glad to share with you that that person was able to cross that off of their bucket list back over Christmas, see parts of the world I've never seen, go to Acres of Hope, travel across the country in an RV, several of you put that, cruise the Upper East Coast, someone wants a car like mine, and I totally say go be an empty nester, and you can get like a two-seater kind of car. I highly recommend it, but to see Italy and England and Europe, to go to Acres of Hope, reconcile relationships, experience time in Hawaii, play rounds of golf in some exotic places, be a stripper. Yes, that person's kin to me as well, so I'll let you harass her after worship. I know she thinks I would not read that aloud, daughter dear, so I did. Play golf, go to Africa on a mission trip, go to the Holy Land, sing with the worship team. I'm so glad that is on your bucket list. We can hook you up. Go to the Kentucky Derby. And this one I thought was interesting: having Swedish meatballs for lunch at IKEA. To ride a dinosaur. I think that is a noble, noble bucket list item. See the Northern Lights, take a river cruise, go to Greece and the Holy Land, go to Acres of Hope, Costa Rica, swim with the dolphins, travel, live on the lake and travel during retirement, live in New York City, and someone tells me hello and I send you a hello back, and just other things like travel and experiencing the world. You know, one of the problems with us as human beings is we wait for things. And we try to do things here based on the fact that we have something that is awaiting us. And that is also how we view eternal life. Like we have this experience, this life experience that is waiting on us after we die. And Jesus did embrace that concept. But Jesus also taught that heaven, just like we talked about hell last week, that heaven is here and now. So by the end of the morning, I hope that you will make a plan other than the stripper to embrace your bucket list. Don't wait. Jesus did not want us to wait. His teaching meant that he wanted us to live right here and right now and embrace what's called a thin place. And I'll explain that at the end of the message. But a thin place, he wanted us to live in those thin places. But we have colluded our idea of heaven. And so right now, to show you some of the things that I think we've gotten askewed over the last 50 to 75 years in the post-Enlightenment period, we are going to have a game show, and we have three contestants, and the game show this morning is called, Are You Smarter Than, or Do You Know How to Get to Heaven? Basically, are you smarter than a religious fanatic? So if you will give a warm welcome, and all of our contestants, or our contestant and our panel of experts is going to come out, and then I'll introduce you to them. So give them a warm welcome. Come over here. They have titles. Jesus freak, come to me. I would like for you to stand right here so everybody can see you. She is our religious scholar this morning, and she is going to be answering some questions that we are going to put up on the screen. And so then we also have three people that are very smart religiously, very obnoxiously smart religiously. The first one that I'm going to introduce you is the one that is jockeying for position on stage. Her name is actually her real name, but she's not obnoxious in real life. Her name is Mackenzie Gary. She is our new summer intern from Pfeiffer University. And so in real life, we are very happy to have her. And she was all about being all in with Wes this morning. So now we are going to pretend that she is obnoxious, an obnoxious religious major and a religion scholar. So this is our obnoxious religion scholar. And then over here, if you went to church in the 1950s, this might be what you would experience. We like to call her the church lady. So will you give the church lady a very warm welcome? Church lady. And then, have you heard of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament? He was responsible for many of the books in the New Testament. This is his long-lost brother, Bill. So will you give Bill... will you give Bill from Tarsus a warm welcome?
Shalom. Salame.
Shalom. You could have just stopped with shalom and actually sounded like you knew something about religion. All right, and here we have a Jesus freak, which is the definition of someone who thinks they know everything about the Bible and refuses to listen to opposite opinions. So give her a warm welcome. Now, Jesus freak, which one of our contestants do you want to choose first? Could you have a little more enthusiasm?
The religion major.
The religion major. All right, let's turn around and let's look at our screen. We have $100 animals in the Bible, 500 fruits in the garden, 1,000. When does heaven happen? 100,000 heaven is like, and 1,000,000. What does eschatology mean? And if all of you here worshiping with us today will learn that last statement at the end, what does eschatology mean? The next time that someone knocks on your door on a Saturday and wants to share with you his faith journey and ask you if you are a follower of Jesus, and I say his because in my personal experience, most of them have been men. If you ask them, do you believe in a realized eschatology? I promise they will not stay at your door very long. That is my tactic. After I say that I'm an ordained minister in the United Methodist Church, I ask them if they believe in a realized eschatology, and they leave with no further discussion. So if you will learn that statement, everything will be well. So Jesus freak, which one of those categories do you want to do?
When does heaven happen?
When does heaven happen? All right, for $1,000, when does heaven happen? Now, here are our suggested answers. When we die, now, or both? When, and I want those of you who are worshiping with us at West this morning to answer this question in your brain. When does heaven happen? Does it happen when we die? That's A. Does it happen right now? B. Or C, both. Jesus freak, do you want to answer this question or do you want our scholar to answer?
I'll have the scholar answer.
Okay. Oh, it's definitely A.
Do you believe that?
No.
C. C? Yeah. A and B? When we die and now. Well, religion scholar, you might want to take another class there at Pfeiffer because she is correct. Heaven does not just happen when we die. We refer to heaven happening when we die and also right now. So let's give her a sympathy applause, if you will. Oh, that sounded like sympathy applause. I need y'all to have a little more energy. All right, question number two. Heaven is like A, a church service that goes on forever. I thought they were the ones sighing for a minute. I'm like, really? That's some audacity to, you know, do that out loud. B, nothing we can comprehend. Or C, a real dimension, space, and place of God's creation where God's will and only God's will is done. Or D, simply another way for saying God. E, A, B, and C, or F, B, C, and D. So the question is, because you've all forgotten it, heaven is like a church service that goes on forever, nothing we can comprehend, a real dimension, space, and place of God's creation where God's will and only God's will is done, or D, simply another way for saying God, or E, the first three, or F, the last three. Which one would you like to choose over there?
Is she okay? I'll choose church lady.
You're going to be so glad you did. Because let me tell you, honey, I have done disciple 1 through 995,000.
Do they have that many?
I don't think they have that many. Yes, I think it's like disciple 1 through 4. But continue, church lady.
All right. I'm going to try to remember those answers you said, but I know one of them's right. That number A about heaven being like an all-day, forever church service. Honey, there's nothing like it. It looks like you could use a few sitting in those hard pews for hours, listening to them talk about, oh, we're going to burn and die if we don't follow the commandments. I know that one's right. I know it is.
So that's your answer? You think heaven's like a church service that goes on forever?
Yes. It has to be.
How many of you think heaven is like a church service that goes on forever? Please clap. I will be resigning my position as pastor of West. Ashley, she's wrong, and they are right.
Well,
what do you think it's like? Well, I know.
I don't think I could sit next to her.
It would be an intense experience.
I'm going to go with F.
F. So actually, that is saying that heaven is like everything but a church service that goes on forever. Is that correct?
I hope so.
Yes. Well, so does most of the people sitting out there. So that is correct. All right. And our last question. So Bill, yes. The Apostle Paul's brother, You get the toughie, the million-dollar question. What does eschatology mean? Now, do you want to let Bill answer, or do you want to try?
Oh, I'm going to let Bill answer.
Can we do this like charades?
Yes.
My brother Saul and I, on our way to Tarsus, he got some
schmutz in his
eye.
Come over here so everybody can
see.
Went blind,
and I don't know what happened. And so I got nobody to do charades with.
Eschatology. What does eschatology mean?
Three words. Study. Sagging. But?
Study butt? I mean, really? Come on now. What is this, Steve?
End.
Study end.
I don't have my sundial with me.
Time?
You got it. Study end times.
Study the end of time. Yes. Thank you. Give Jesus Freak and Bill and our contestants a hand. Thank you. So that is actually the point of this morning. Those 3 points that you just watched presented, I hope in a funny way, are what I want you to walk away with. When Jesus referred to heaven, and in today's message, I'm not going to exegete like one Bible passage. And what I mean by that is normally when we preach here at West, there's a passage and I read it to you and then we explore what it means. But this morning, it's a bigger concept than that. We are talking about heaven and eternal life. And what you just saw really are the Jesus answers of what that is. So there's 3 things I want you to walk away with. In the Old Testament, when the people were following God, the name and the word God was so revered and so reverent to everyone that they would not say the word Yahweh. They would not speak it aloud. That's how much they respected and revered God. So in the time of Jesus, and remember, Jesus came not to institute a new religion or a new way of following, but to make faith something that was alive for each of them. He wanted their Jewish faith to be something that burned within each of them so that they would be at one with God and be close to God. So he's trying to reignite that passion in them. And so when he was teaching about God, many times he would not use the word God. He would use the word heaven. So if you read the Beatitudes, and those are passages in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, Jesus would say, "Blessed are the poor." Or blessed are the meek, for to such like them is the kingdom of heaven, or he would use the term God. He would use those two terms interchangeably. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing is there's this thing called time that we understand, and we know that we live in lots of different dimensions. Science tells us right now that there are as many as 11 different dimensions, and I am not going to even begin to try to pretend to name them for you, but I know that time is one of them. And the way that you and I experience time is like, oh my gosh, it is 10:44. Is she going to continue to talk for 15 minutes? And then I want to go to lunch. We think of time that way. Now, when Jesus was referring to time, he used this Greek word called aion. And he would refer to time with that word aion. And we have brought the word from it called eons. We think that things last eons. And when we think about things like that, we think time goes on and on and on and on and on, like 365 days and then another 365 days and then another and another and another. And that is our concept of time. But when Jesus was teaching and he used that word aion, which we understand eons, it meant time as this just surreal experience. So if you've ever sat in like a bad worship service, and I hope that's not what you're thinking right now, or like a classroom or something that was agonizing to you, you've probably found yourself feeling like time just stops and time stands still. Have you ever felt like that? Clap, like time stands still. And then there's a positive counterpart to that too, like time flies. We always say time flies when we're having fun or we're having some great experience. The time goes so quickly, we lose all track of time. When Jesus refers to eternal life, and he means that time in the age right now is being experienced, and then he means time in the age to come. Now, yes, that also means when we leave this physical realm and our souls go on to live in eternal presence with God. But that does not necessarily mean 365 days times infinity. It is a dimension of thought. It is a dimension of being. And we believe when we read scriptures that that dimension of being is absolute pure and perfected bliss. I want you to take a quick look at this next video. This is how we have viewed heaven as humanity. It's a funny video, but when you leave here in just a few minutes, I want you to leave not thinking that heaven is like this. So take a look. Graham is quoted as saying that we really don't understand the vastness of the love of God, and we really don't understand all that God meant when he talked about heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Corinth, and it's a familiar letter to many of us. If you've been to a wedding, you have probably heard the passage about love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful. And we believe that when Paul was writing that letter to the church in Corinth, he was not writing to tell them about this warm, fuzzy feeling that we get when we are in a relationship with either a significant other or a friend. He was talking about God. And then at the end of that passage, he writes this: "For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." And we can substitute in there, the greatest of these is God. God is love. And the love that God had and the love that God has was embodied through that person, Jesus Christ. And he came and he showed us how to love. So if you read the New Testament, you will see that Jesus would go encounter people like this rich young ruler. And he was a political figure. He had all this money. He had everything he could possibly want. And his question to Jesus was, how do I experience eternal life? And when we hear that question, we think he means, okay, so how do I make sure, Jesus, that when I die, I'm going to be with God always? And as you read and you study that passage, you learn that is not what he was asking Jesus. He goes back to that word aeon, the age, the span of time. How do I experience God right here, eternal life, right here, right now, and then in the time that is not right here and right now? That's what he meant, eternal life, the age to come. We believe that heaven and hell both exist right here, right now. And we also believe that it is ours for the choosing. And so as we close today, that's what I want you to walk away with. Remember your bucket list items? We get to choose. Are we going to pursue those items or not? We get to choose whether we are happy or not. We get to choose whether we want to experience eternal life or not. I talked to you about a thin space. A thin space is where the understanding and the experience, think about that time as being an experience, that understanding and experience of absolute bliss and perfection is so wonderful and so big and so vast that we are experiencing it right now, right here. That is what is called a thin space. And so this morning I wanted to show you a picture of what my personal thin space is. I do believe it must be a thin space for many of you, because you keep participating in it year after year. It is this thing that we do, and I've brought examples in my bucket to show you. It's called this thing called the Back to School Bash, and it's something that we choose to support as a church every year. There are I think last year we had 1,500 students, and the reason that we do this is before I went into ministry, I taught sixth grade, and I taught at Claremont Elementary right over the county line in Catawba County, and I'll never forget, I was the teacher of the needy class of kids. And they would come into school and they knew they were termed needy, and they were grouped together homogeneously. And that right there was just a blow to their self-esteem. And they walked in and they did not have new clothes to wear on the first day of school. And when I said, okay, everybody, I want you to get out a piece of paper and I want you to tell me one thing fun you did this summer, several of them, probably around 10, did not have any paper to write on. And over the course of that year, those kids realized that they had been grouped based on their ability level or their lack thereof. And I am always an advocate for the underdog. And so when I and my teammates in our grade started pouring into those kids, we saw them soar. We saw them achieve high test scores, and you know, that's how you tend to judge things in a school system. And by the end of the year, they walked out of that classroom proud of who they were and who they were created to be. But it broke my heart to see them start school without enough. And so then I had the privilege of being the missions pastor at Williamson's Chapel, and they did this amazing thing for teachers and back to school, and they would bring in all these supplies, and we would take days and drive them to the schools all over Southern Iredell and Mooresville graded. And then we realized, but wait, the kids still have to come to school not having what they need. And so we gave birth to a vision called the Back to School Bash, and it is a festival. It is fun. So no one has to come and feel needy. We have inflatables and free food and hair paint, but while they're there, they get school supplies. And while they're there, they have somebody wash their feet and offer them a prayer and then fit them with a brand new pair of tennis shoes. We do it every year. This is the 7th one. And I promise you, if you give up that Saturday morning, you will experience a thin space. But you don't have to just do the bash to experience a thin space. When you leave here today, when you see someone that you don't know, smile at them. Look them in the eyes. And when they smile back and realize that a complete stranger will smile at them, that is a thin space. Or when you feel absolute peace in your soul because you know that you've done everything that God called you to do that day, that is a thin space. Jesus wanted us to experience heaven right here, right now, just not only when we die and move into the life everlasting. And that was what he was telling his disciples. So thank you for choosing to come to West on a holiday weekend. We really do appreciate you coming and worshiping with us online. I also believe that if Jesus were here, he would want us to know that our bucket list doesn't need to look like this one where the bucket's falling apart. He wanted us to live lives that are full of joy and hope. So throw away the non-existent bucket list or throw away the small bucket list. And embrace that every day is created to be a day full of joy and hope and peace and, most importantly, love. Thank you for being with us this morning. Go in peace.